earnestly hope we beat their ass today.
And I'm going to tell you what, the tortillas were flying.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast, presented by Viva the Matadors and SB Nation. You are on once again with your boy, Albie Shore, as always, back in the flesh. It's football season, and I am with my right-hand man, one and only, Dylan Smythe. What's up, Dill?
The two podcast voices you know and love, we are back. We are the official post-game podcast, ready to go. Let's
the
do this thing.
Official. You hear that, Texas Tech? Pay us. Pay us. Because we're your best ones you got.
Yeah, I don't know who crowned us official. I guess I did, but
you did
we're official.
Yeah, that's the real deal.
Watch out, everybody.
For sure. Yeah, that's right. And who else is official is the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Went into Jones AT&T Stadium for the first time in 2019 and laid the smackdown on the Montana State Bobcats. They did what you expect a Big 12 team to do against an FCS team, right? They just went in and laid strong arm of the law down on the Bobcats from the Northwest. What were some exciting things? Did you watch the game, Dylan? I hope you did.
Yeah. Of course I watched the game. You know, this is like the stupidest thing to be really excited about, but the return of the tight end position was one of my favorite things. You saw the tight end out there. You saw both Thompson and Kuntz. Thompson made a couple grabs. They put tight ends in the flex on the line, like the tight ends. They're back. But defense is something to get excited about, too. The defense was swarming everywhere. Back-to-back three and outs for almost the first, I think what it would have been five three and outs back-to-back if not for that fake punt. So the defense was on fire.
I mean, at that point, they kind of had to do a fake punt just to, like, because at that point, you're like, what the hell, right? Like, you're down, I think at the time they were down 21-0. Like, it's like, oh, what the hell? Let's just do a fake punt and see what happens, right? Like, let's just see if maybe we can – because if they don't get it and Tech just scores again, I mean, who cares at that moment, right? So I respected the fake punt out of Montana State. I wish more coaches would be that aggressive, but I like that. But like you said, defense played well.
And not only that, you said in the beginning of the podcast, like, FCS opponent, we should take care of business. This was a week where a lot of teams didn't take care of business, so it was nice to see Texas Tech getting it done.
LOL. We'll talk about that later.
Iowa State. I know they won, but
whew. Yikes. We'll talk about it later, but first, I do want to get to... Let's talk about Tech's offense, right? Let's talk about Alan Bowman, who I think the first 11 passes he had, if I'm not mistaken, all completions. He was on his way to having like the greatest college football game of all time, right? Before like a botched fumble or a botched snap led him to just throw the ball away. But my God, this guy was on fire. End of the game, 436 yards, two touchdowns, and 84 QBR. Offensively, what did you have to say about the team?
Like you said, first 11 passes for Bowman, and it probably would have been 15 or 16 if it weren't for that bad snap. But it was nice to see everybody getting involved. You saw basically all three running backs get their own drive. Shine obviously got his drive and capped it off with a big touchdown run. Henry looked good, and Sir Roderick had a drive where he looked good too. And then we had how many receivers catch the ball? Like, I want to say, I don't have the box score right in front of me, but double digits, no doubt. And like a lot of guys with 6-7 receptions. Rigdon had 6. Vasher had 6. McLean Mannix had a bunch. Like, receivers for days. Everyone got involved. Yeah. It was,
11 receivers to be exact. And I did tweet something out like this. So, like, everybody got the ball on the receiving team. And this offense reminded me a lot of Neil Brown when he was the offensive coordinator at Tech, right? A lot of bubble screens, a lot of things. But here's the beauty of the offense, like Yost and like Neil Brown's, is that it's quick. It's just as quick as Kingsbury likes it. But instead of these 60-yard bombs that gets the defense back on the field after 5 seconds, it's just quick plays methodically down the field. So the opposing defense is exhausted, while your defense is still chilling because it's a five, 6-7 minute drive that feels like it's like you're just going down their throats. I thought it was lovely.
I have a big note circled on my pad, and it's tempo, and it's not only tempo really, really fast, because honestly, I think we're faster than we were with Kingsbury, and Yost said that coming in, that we were going to be faster, and I think we are. But not only did we go really, really fast, we would go really, really fast and also take up some time. Or in the second half, you saw us snapping the ball with 2-3 seconds left on the box score, or on the game clock, and you haven't seen that in the last 5 years in Lubbock.
So I'll say this, Dylan. So when I was back in my younger, slender days, right, I played a little bit of the foosball, and I played on the defensive side of the ball. And one thing is that having to get ready because the offense is about to go is going to get you out of breath. And as a defensive lineman, as a linebacker, right, the fact that the offense rushes to the line, you're ready to go, and they just stand there is infuriating. Right? And so, because here's the thing, you still have to stay in your stance, right? Like, how many times do you see linemen, like, they're on their knees, and then they look down, like, they're trying to catch their breath, and the second they look up, oh, crap, the ball's about to be snapped, we got to get back up, right? So you have linemen now that are just uncomfortable for 20 seconds while you're trying to get your play in. Right, I think that's just as effective as, you know, being. It's just as effective as running the no look, right, or the no huddle, I should say, and just running tempo. Like, just being out there, set, ready to go that quickly is effective. Because here's the thing, defensive coaches are going to tell you to always be ready, and as they should. But the problem is when you're always ready, then you're in your stance for 30 seconds because they're just chilling. Right, it is very infuriating. I think it's going to work. I will say, the only negative I'll say about the offense is it's going to really suck for, like, a star in this offense to sign. Like for example, TJ Vasher, who I think is the most talented player on the offense, it's going to – because Kingsbury's offense really was built for star receivers like TJ Vasher, like Dylan Cantrell. You know, like guy like Kiki Kuti to really shine, right? For the quarterback to really keen in on them, and for those guys to be on the game at all times. As far as David Yost and Matt Wells' defense, it kind of strengthened numbers, and that really sucks when you're that good, right? So if you're the star running back, if you're Tazon Henry, TJ Vashy, you think you're going to have this great year? Really, you're going to have more. It's more of a socialistic offense.
It's funny because in my preview podcast, or in our preview podcast, I didn't want to say TJ Vasher is going to break out because I had a feeling there's just too many mouths to feed in this receiver group.
I mean, you're right. I mean, and he's still tied for the most receptions. Him and Dalton Rigdon both had 6 catches. But it's the difference between, like, before he had games, he could easily have games where he had 10 or more catches. For now, 6 catches? That's about all you're going to get. Like, and this was in a situation to where, you know, you had as many possessions as you could possibly have. Like, you're not, this is about what you're going to, and it's not like, here's another thing I want to bring up. It's not like because they're going up against Montana State, they just tried out everybody. David Wells kind of played his main group the entire game. Like, he didn't play backups like you usually see against FCS. The guys you saw playing on Saturday are the guys you'll see playing almost every Saturday. So this is it.
It's kind of interesting to see Matt Bowman get extended reps into the fourth. But, you know, whatever Matt Wells is doing, I'm buying it at this point.
Matt Bowman? Is Alan Bowman's little brother getting in the game or what?
Whatever. You know what I was going for there.
But yeah, no, you're right. Tyner, the de facto backup, he didn't get in until late in the fourth quarter. Didn't even attempt to pass. He just handed the ball off the whole time. I mean, you're right. It's kind of, the whole third quarter, I'm like, why is Bowman in the game? Like, I didn't even expect him to come out. I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we don't really have a backup right now. The fact that Jet Duffy is now relegated to the fourth string quarterback boggles my mind. And it really tells you how bad of a quarterback he is. Lord Jesus. Tyner's not good. Like I want to say this right now, Raider Nation. I have a sibling that went to Rice. I've watched Tyner play. He wasn't even the starter at arguably the worst FBS team in the country. Tyner is terrible. And yet Jet Duffy can't beat him in a quarterback competition. That's not good. But, I mean, unfortunately, this, I think, Dylan, I think it's time. It's the death of Jet Hive. It's the death of Duffy Hive.
That hive died for me a year and a half ago, but yeah, okay, but cool.
I was the last person on that boat, and I'm, you know, I got to walk the plank. I'm off of it. It's if he can't beat Tyner, oh my God. my God. So let's go to the other side of the ball. Shall we? Let's talk about the defense. Normally, on our recap pods, we talk about some good things that the other team did well as well. But, I mean, why? It's Montana State. Nobody cares. So, defensively, what did you like to see?
Aggressiveness, Albie. Aggressiveness. Keith Patterson. You thought David Gibbs was aggressive his last season in Lubbock? Keith Patterson is making David Gibbs' defense look like a little puppy. Big eyeballs. Like, oh my gosh, third down, send the house. Like, aggressiveness from Keith Patterson. It was great to see. Jordan Brooks was everywhere, literally everywhere. You blinked and he was at the football. He led the team in tackles. He was monstrous.
You know what this Jordan Brooks reminded me of? The last time that Jordan Brooks was arguably the best player on the defense, funny enough, was his freshman year. His freshman year when Tech was one of the worst defenses I've ever seen in my life. He led the team in tackles. He was, again, he was swarming everywhere. The last 2 years, he's had Dakota Allen by his side. So he's been a great run stopper, but he hasn't really had it keyed in on him as much. Now he's back to being the best player on the defense, the best linebacker on the team, all that, and you're seeing the Jordan Brooks we've been talking about all year long that we said is arguably one of the most underrated players in the country, and 11 tackles, two quarterback hurries, a tackle for loss. He, like you said, he was absolutely everywhere. It was and again, I think he's been the best run stopper on the team for the last 2 years, and I think now he's saying he's might be one of the best run stoppers in the country.
And we were debating in our preview podcast, like, who's the best player on the defense, and a couple names came up, but Jordan Brooks just made his case for it. Like, the dude was everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, Adrian Fry, my guy. What's up?
The secondary wasn't challenged. They how many times did they throw the football?
So they threw the football a total of 19 times. A grand total of 24 times. 24. Sorry. Bowman threw it 19 times, but a grand total of 24 times. So you're right. They weren't really challenged, but still, man, yeah, Fry wasn't even.
That's all it was. The secondary wasn't challenged. The ball hardly, if it was thrown, it didn't get thrown for more than like 7 yards. So
I will say DeMarcus Fields, I think, had a really good game. He didn't really show up much on the stat sheet. He only had two tackles, but I also, he's another guy that I kind of saw his number a lot. Douglas Coleman, my goodness. You talk about a guy being all over the field. Douglas Coleman is loving that strong safety position. He's another guy that was absolutely all over the field. And then I don't mean to just round off the top three tackles, but I got to put my guy Rico Jeffers in there because Rico showed what he was capable of as well.
And then let me give one more shout out, Broderick Washington. On third down, that dude was nuts. The first third down came up, he shut that down. It was like third and short. He shut it down. The second third down on the third drive, he was in on that play. Broderick Washington was disruptive up front.
So another guy I want to say, where were you? And I think a lot of it may have to do with scheme on a Montana State side, but we didn't hear about a lot from Eli Howard. Now, I did notice they ran away from him a lot. They ran away from him a lot. He didn't really get to the quarterback, but he wasn't really factoring the run defense because he didn't have to be. But I am curious. I mean, with Eli Howard, a lot of eyes are on him now. Will he step up to the plate? He's another guy I'm worried about.
Well, he's a pass rusher by nature, and they just, like I said, they didn't throw the ball, and when they did, it was out of their hands quick. So, not much room for pass rush in this game.
So, one thing I found funny is that you kind of brought it up with Gibbs not being aggressive. I think Gibbs, a lot of the times, was, what's the word I'm looking for? He was a little, I don't want to say narcissistic, but he always had this idea that our players, we can run a basic base defense, and our players will just beat the other player out. Here's the thing, okay? We are Texas Tech. We're not Texas. We're not Alabama. We're not Ohio State. All right? Now, I'm not saying that we can't recruit guys that are good, but when we're playing most of these teams, at best, we'll be even keel, even par. So to have to feel all hoity-toity that we can just line up, be a base defense, not have to blitz, not have to do anything, we'll just beat our guys, I think was a little, you know, was a little self-anointed that you're just going to be able to do this. Now, at Houston, it worked because at Houston, as coach, defensive coordinator of Houston Cougars, you're playing UConn and Tulane and Tulsa, right? You can do that. Your players will likely be better than the other team's players every other game. But Keith Patterson comes from Utah State, where he knows that's not the case. And I think the fact that he uses, and we talked about it over the offseason, He's going to use kind of gimmicky defenses. And David Yost uses gimmicky offense and like that, because that's just going to make us better. And just what we talked about on the offensive side, all the receivers and running backs that got to play. Look at all the defensive guys that got to play. We saw Jalen Hutchins. I was not expecting to see Jason Hutchins and Kosi Eldridge that much. We saw both of them a lot. They played quite a bit. Names that we didn't even talk about during this offseason. Xavier Benson, Tyreek Matthews, Adam Beck played a lot. So, I mean, this defense, I was very surprised to see. You know, it was impressive.
Well, yeah, and like you said, a lot of guys saw the field, and we still gave up only 10 points. So, second team guys hardly gave up anything. Other than that one touchdown, that the defense was unscathed.
But see, and here's the thing, though, is that, again, they weren't really playing. Like, it wasn't like most FCS games where a second string was in. Like, you knew, oh, this is the second string guys. You saw situations where Adam Beck was playing at safety, and Rico Jeffers was his backer, right? Like, you saw situations to where it's just a mix, right? So you're going to have your starters, but I think you're going to see a lot of the bench guys play just as much. And that, I guess you could say that goes into the whole we, us, our thing, right? Like, they're starters. But being in the two deep, if you're in the two deep, you might as well just be a starter. You might be the second string, but you're going to play just as much as the first. And again, it leads to a lot of socialism. It leads to a lot of socialism in football that everybody's going to get a chance to play and prove themselves. So it is definitely interesting, but it doesn't lead to a lot of stars really showing out unless you're Jordan Brooks. Then it doesn't.
Yeah, the Bernie Sanders school of defensive backs is still working itself out.
I like that. I will say, so give me some players of the game. First, I'm going to talk about on the offensive side of the ball. Who is your player of the game?
You know, I'm going to forego the obvious answer in Alan Bowman and hit you with Xavier White. You know, he's been the surprise of camp in the wide receiver group. He did have that costly fumble, but he redeemed himself really nicely, led the team in yards, and was one short of leading the team in reception. So, Xavier White. Good game.
Because of that costly fumble, I can't give it to Xavier White, because not only did he fumble the ball, which I will say was actually a pretty good tackle by Montana State DB, but he also didn't recover it. Like, it was under him, and he tried to get cute with it and didn't recover it. I'm going to give it to the guy that I highlighted in the preview podcast, my boy, Armand Shine. Armand Shine, 11 carries for 125 yards, including that big, nice 69-yard run for a touchdown. Armand Shine, I think, is going to get a lot of burn this year. I think he's actually going to be the main running back we talk about by the end of the year. He ain't new to this. He's true to this. Armand Shine was my guy on the offensive side of the ball. Dylan, defensively, what'd you like? Who'd you like?
I will go with the obvious answer here. It's Jordan Brooks, without a doubt. Like, the guy was everywhere humanly imaginable, led the team in tackles, quarterback hurries. He was all over the board. Stat sheet stuffer.
Nice. That was a very good pick. I was going to go Douglas Coleman. Because I think it's just knowing that he's comfortable in that strong safety spot, I think, Mike, is very reassuring to me. I think he had a really good game, and he's honorable mention. But, you know, I'm going to go with Broderick Washington, man. That guy right there, it made me feel really good about this D-line. He had a tackle and a half for loss, three tackles total. The guy was really disruptive in the middle of the unit. Never really, I mean, guys like Casey Bowman and Rovic really never really got a chance to truly get their feet under him before he was in the backfield. Thought he had a really good game. I'm going to go Broderick Washington. I don't know. You like kickers. Do you want to say anything about Trey Wolf?
No.
I mean,
not yet. I'm taking the Matt Wells approach and just saying no.
The guy went 6-for-6. He's 1-for-1 from field goal. Kickers don't matter, my guy. They don't matter.
They will. They will.
We'll see. Adrian Fry did have three nice punt returns, though. That's the most.
They don't matter till they do. Actually, Adrian Fye's first punt return scared the crap out of me. He let it bounce and fielded it, and I was a little worried. But
you know what's funny? Actually, all of his punt returns, he was him, like, running it. Like the first one was actually, the one you're talking about was the second one. His first one was him catching on the sideline after being, like, 20 yards back and, like, running, catching it, making a guy miss and getting, like, 10 yards on it. And it was impressive, but that, my guy, that's not what we need you to do. Just field the ball. Just be smart with it. That's it. You don't have to be. We don't need you to be the honey badger. So that's definitely the main thing. So all in all, good game by Tech, winning 45-10. But disclaimer, Dylan, it was Montana State.
Yeah, but a lot of teams didn't take care of business, and we did.
So let's how about we get to some of those teams that didn't take care of business. And it's my favorite thing to talk about whenever Tech plays really well and other teams don't, is what happened in the Big 12 this past Saturday, Dylan. So first off, we're going to talk – so right now, actually, Oklahoma is – and we're going to talk about the game that's happening Sunday night, Oklahoma against Houston. We're talking about the first. So right now, as we finish up our pod, Oklahoma is beating Houston 42-31, mostly because Houston has scored 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Houston might pull off, like, the most miraculous comeback I've ever seen, but it's likely not going to happen. Oklahoma looked really good in this game. What did you think?
Yeah, Houston basically just scored in garbage time. Like, that just happened. Their defense, after, of course, they just gave up another 7, but their defense looks improved, which is unfortunate for the Big 12. And Jalen Hurts has come in and hasn't skipped a beat. He's looking really good.
I told
Oklahoma,
you.
Clear-cut favorites.
Jalen Hurts, listen to some. Everybody has forgotten that Jalen Hurts was a freshman when he won the national championship at Baylor. Like, Jalen Hurts, to me, can win the Heisman because he's at Oklahoma. I think he's more athletic than Baker was, right? Maybe not as athletic than Kyler, because that's a lot to ask of somebody. But he's arguably one of the most, if not the most, athletic quarterback currently in college football. And he can pass the ball. He can throw the ball. Like his freshman year, he was an iffy passer, but he's a much better passer now. And what, it's his senior year? Like, Jalen Hurts is a baller. He can play. And man, Oklahoma's just as dangerous as they always have been. Houston's no slouch. I know they went 8-5 last year, but they're no slouch. In fact, they're before these 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, we're really whooping them. Oklahoma's still going to be good, still going to be there.
Hurts only has 3 incompletions, is accountable for 500 yards of total offense and 6 touchdowns. That's the Heisman front runner right there.
After the first week, no doubt. So let's talk about people that weren't as impressive. So we're going to go back to Friday with the other team in Oklahoma. Oklahoma State, man. They copy everything from Tech, including very bad defense. The first half was pretty embarrassing. This game was close. Too close for comfort for too long if you were an Oklahoma State Cowboys fan. Did you watch this game?
You know, I did not. But Spencer Sanders, his quarterback, had a pretty good game. You know, just looking at the box score and looking at the highlights. But Oregon State is historically not a good team, and they gave up 36 points. So I know they got started slow in this game, but I did not watch it.
So I watched it. This game was close for most of the first half. Like, Oklahoma State busted it open at the end of the first half, but this game, Oregon State had the lead in the first quarter. This game was a close game. I will say, Oklahoma State fans, the problem that y'all had last year with the quarter, Spencer Sanders is the truth. That guy's going to be good. And Oklahoma State with a good quarter is a kind of scary team. I picked them to go 4th in the Big 12 this year, only behind Oklahoma, Iowa State, and Texas. And they're going to be proving pretty well in my prediction, because Spencer Sanders is a real deal. Their offense, Chuba Hubbard, balled out at the running back position. 221 yards, 3 touchdowns. That guy was unstoppable, as was Tylan Wallace. So that three-headed monster is going to be really big for Oklahoma State. But, man, this defense, yikes. Like, the fact that Oregon State was able to do some of the things they were able to do in the first half and in the fourth quarter when they tried to make the comeback, it's kind of embarrassing for Oklahoma State. And so we could see Texas Tech reincarnated over there in Stillwater for sure. So let's get to everybody that played on Saturday against a bunch of scrubs. So I do want to get some boring things out of the way. So Baylor beat the crap out of SFA 56-17. What do you have to say about that game?
Not much. It's Baylor against SFA. It's what you it's what is expected.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie Brewer wasn't that impressive. He wasn't bad. I mean, yeah, like you said, it's what you expect, for sure. Next up, Texas beat the crap out of Louisiana Tech. Everybody's using the show. See, Sam Ellinger actually is a good quarterback, but I'm still not buying it. What say you?
You know, his accuracy looked improved in this game, but his consistency is still something to be desired. I don't know. We'll see. I think depth at running back for the University of Texas could be a problem, and that's a surprising thing that you don't usually say about the Longhorns.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely not. Kansas State, you know, new regime, again, played really well against Nicholls State, but just like I said about Tech, it's Nicholls State. So, but Skylar Thompson looked good. What say you?
I mean, with a new coach, it's always something you're curious to see how they do from the get-go, and you want to see if they start slow, even if it's a crappy opponent. But they took care of business, so. Shut up, game broadcast. Yeah, their starting running quarterback, Skylar Thompson, looked decent. I don't know. I don't know what to expect from Kansas State this year, but I'm not expecting much.
So I do want to get into some games that weren't as impressive from the Big 12. So first I'm going to start out for TCU. Now, TCU won the game 39-7. So you would think, not too bad, but I will say, cause for concern if you're a Horned Frog fan. Before the game started, they announced Alex Delton as the starting quarterback. Alex Delton looked, like I've said before, terrible. He looked terrible. They put in Max Dugan, who looked better. Now we have a quarterback controversy in TCU. But Delton, 10 for 22, 119 yards against Arkansas Pine Bluff. Yeesh.
I'm not even convinced Skylar Thompson's a great quarterback, and that's who Alex Delton lost his job to. Yeah, both quarterbacks looked a little lackluster. That's kind of that's what I want to see from TCU this year, is just god-awful quarterback play again, because it's just fun. Yeah, they took care of business, but it wasn't pretty.
It wasn't pretty at all. And not to mention, dude, they had 7 fumbles in this game. 7 fumbles. They recovered 5 of them, but they had 7 fumbles. 3 from Jalen Reagor, who's their best player on the team. Not just on the offense, on the team. And he had 3 fumbles alone. You know, that is disturbing if you're a TCU fan. I get the fact they want 39-7, but you can't feel that good about this team. I mean, the defense played well, but again, Arkansas Pine Bluff, I mean, they're bad in the FCS, right? So the fact that you're going up against this team is bad in the FCS, and yeah, you only gave up a touchdown. So I guess on defense, you don't really know what that game means. Offensively, you can't feel good about this game.
No. Nothing happened on the passing side of things. And if you've dropped the ball 7 times in a Big 12 game, you're going to lose. There's no way around that.
Exactly. They only won 39-7. This is a Big 12 game. Even if it is Kansas, you're probably going to lose that game, or at least come close to losing. Speaking of coming close to losing, and speaking of Kansas, Kansas almost lost to Indiana State. Did you watch that game?
Nope. But I am happy. Les Miles got his first win in Kansas. Maybe they'll be out of the basement this year, but it's hard to tell. It's a little early.
I actually picked them not to finish last. I picked K-State to finish last in the conference this year. I picked them to finish 8th. Actually, but this game didn't make me feel that confident about it. Kansas came out to a lead in the first half. Actually, Kansas had a lead the entire game, but Indiana State at the end of it tied things up 17-17. Tied things up 17-17. It wasn't looking too pretty. And then finally, Kansas at the very end was able to take the lead. Actually, take that back. Indiana State had the lead by a point. Kansas was able to take the lead at the end of the game and win it. But, you know, if you're Kansas, you're finally thinking maybe we'll get out of the basement, maybe we'll get out of the gutter, and then you have the survivor scared at Indiana State. You got to be thinking same old Kansas after that.
Yeah. I always take week one with a grain of salt. Like, these guys haven't tackled in 2 weeks. So,
I don't know, man. Like, usually, a lot of times, the way I've always looked at it is that if you struggle against FCS opponents, that doesn't look good, pretty good going forward. I will say, silver lining, the opposite of the TCU thing, Carter Stanley played well. Carter Stanley played pretty decently. And so that definitely is a silver lining if you're a Kansas fan.
When's the last time Kansas had a decent quarterback?
What's his name? Redding. Back in like 08, 09.
Who?
Redding.
I don't know. I was thinking Todd Reesing.
Reesing. My bad.
Okay, so we're on the same page.
Yeah,
cool. Reesing.
My bad. So that's so long ago, I even got his name mixed up. So speaking of another team that I had in the bottom of the Big 12 this year, West Virginia, and my boy Neil Brown. You know how much I like Neil Brown. That was another close one, playing James Madison, who is a good FCS team. James Madison is a good FCS team, but they're still an FCS team. The fact that Austin Kendall and company barely won this game has to be a little frightening too.
Your pick for who should have been Texas Tech's next head coach, Neil Brown, almost lost to James Madison University. How does that make you feel, Albie?
Technically, my pick is Dana Holgorsen, who also is losing right now. But
at least he's losing to Oklahoma.
Yeah. But I will say this. Neil Brown was given the toughest situation to come into. Everybody from West Virginia left last year. Everybody did. Quarterbacks, receivers.
Half DBs, their defense transferred.
Yeah, like everybody left. So this is honestly, if he wins two games this year, that's impressive. Like, this is a very, very bad West Virginia team. Probably the worst West Virginia team we've seen in multiple decades, talent-wise. So, I'd say Holgorsen left at the time he knew it was time for him to go, for sure. Because if he didn't leave, if Holgorsen hadn't left before this year, he'd been fired at the end of it. And I think he knew that. So, but they got a win, so good for them. Austin Kendall is trash, but, you know, Neil Brown just got to make lemonade out of lemons at this point.
How do you have almost less than 50% completion percentage in a Neil Brown offense?
I mean, how do you only have 34 yards rushing against James Madison at home? Yeah, that was going to be a long season if you're a West Virginia fan, for sure. Speaking of, and last but not least, the last game we're going to get to in the Big 12, a team that was supposed to have a very good season. Like, if you're a fan of this team, I have tied for second in the Big 12 this year. And I really wanted to pick them second. I almost did. Iowa State, 21st ranked in the conference and in the nation, supposed to have a really good season. They should have lost this game to Northern Iowa at home.
They really should have lost this game. And if you look at the box score and you look at Brock Purdy's stats, they're not bad. But if you watch the game like I did, it's just they had so much trouble stringing a decent drive together on offense. Like, it was a struggle. Defensively, they really weren't that great either. I mean, they give up 26 to a nobody. But the Fighting Tony Romos had something to say about this game, and they deserved to win.
That's not fair. That's not because the defense only gave up 13 in regulation. I actually thought the defense was pretty good, and I think that's a big reason why. Usually, what you'll see is a team like Northern Iowa on the road, that's a lower level team playing a ranked team in Iowa State. You usually would see them go for two in a situation to try to win the game. But I think the defense was very stout in this game. I think the Northern Iowa's last two touchdowns they scored, both were just luck of the draw. Like, the one they scored in the third quarter to really, to take the lead, and then the one they scored in overtime, both of them were, how the heck did that happen, right? I will say, props to Will McElvain from Northern Iowa, who low-key outplayed Brock Purdy in this game. I think he played really well for them. He's the one that was the miracle man that almost pulled off this upset. But you're right, Brock Purdy, again, I've been high on Brock Purdy all offseason. He didn't look like Brock Purdy from last year. You needed simple plays to get him going. He wasn't able to do the big shots like he was last year. This has to be kind of concerning for an Iowa State fan, especially with Iowa coming up.
Yeah, no confidence in his eyes and no deep ball. The deep ball was not there for Iowa State. And it's something to be said, like, was it Brock Purdy or was it Hakeem Butler?
And David Montgomery, that's true. Like, that's – and this is the thing. Brock Purdy, this is your team now. So, Dylan's right. I mean, now you still got Johnny Lang, who's a really good receiver, but he ain't no Hakeem Butler, you know. Or, Johnny Lang's a really good running back. He ain't no David Montgomery. You still got Charlie Kohler and DeShonte Jones, but they ain't no Hakeem Butler. So, you know, we'll see how it goes with Brock Purdy. But that wasn't – especially with Iowa coming up, a really good Iowa team coming up. Whew. He's gonna have to shake this off for sure.
In-state rivalry too. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Well, this might be an in-state rivalry now if Iowa State keeps struggling with Northern Iowa. but speaking of, games to come, as the pod winds down, let's talk a little, you know, let's talk a little Tech football as we wind it down. We got UTEP next week. Do you expect anything? Like, is this what do you think?
I think it's dress rehearsal number two for Matt Wells. Ideally, we'll see Jackson Tyner or Jet Duffy in the third or fourth quarter. Like, that's how I kind of expect us to go down. But UTEP hasn't been a walk in the park for us in the last couple of years. So it'll be interesting. Brandon Jones is, I don't want to say a good quarterback, but an experienced quarterback. So I think they'll put up a little more of a fight, but it should still be a Red Raider victory.
Sucks. Okay.
I didn't say he was good. I said he was experienced.
Yeah, he sucks. He's trash. Brandon Jones is terrible. UTEP is terrible. UTEP is actually ranked the worst team in the FBS this year. They're bad. They're very bad. They also have a new coach. They have a new coach that refused to leave his former team during their bowl game instead. And he was like their fifth option. Like, nobody wanted to go coach there. This is a really bad team. Honestly, I think UTEP's about as bad as Montana State. You could actually argue if Montana State and UTEP played each other, Montana State would probably win. You know.
I mean, they only beat Houston Baptist by two.
Yeah.
doesn't inspire much confidence for UTEP fans.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Houston Baptist sucks. So, yeah, UTEP's trash. If Tech won this game 45-10, I expect them to win this next game 52-7. Like, UTEP's not a good team at all. I know by the name you think, okay, well, they should be a little bit better than Montana State. So I'm just saying, if Tech does win 50-0, don't get hyped just because you think that this is, oh, this is an FBS school. No, it might as well not be.
Yeah, it's an FBS school with a little extra juice, but it should be a walk in the park for Texas Tech and Matt Wells.
Very much so. So, name of the game, though, Wells, bro, let Bowman sit. Like he Wells one play in the third quarter, he hobbled a little bit, and like, why is he? And then he comes back out in the next series. Wells, my guy, bro, just let him chill. Honestly, let's do like the preseason where he goes out there for one series and that's it. Like, I'm okay with that. It's UTEP.
Armand Shine Wildcat, fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Seriously. I'm fine with that.
Screw Jet Duffy. Screw Jackson Tyner. Give me the Wildcat.
Seriously. So, Dylan, you got anything else to say to the people?
I did. I have one big thing circled on my notepad here that we didn't exactly get to, but five penalties for Matt Wells in his debut. Oh, my God. What a welcome sight. Like, football happened and wasn't interrupted by a parade of yellow flags. God, it was a beautiful thing to see. It's just shout out to five penalties.
That is a very, very good point. Discipline seems to be instilled. It can be done, guys. It can be done. So that's very good. Dylan, what can people find you on social media?
I was live tweeting the game on Saturday at Air Raid Podcast. Find me there at Air Raid Podcast.
At Air Raid Podcast. Follow the home team.
Like and subscribe to the Air Raid Podcast as well.
Yeah, Apple Pods.
Spotify, Stitcher.
We are still on Spotify? Well, look at that.
Yeah.
Spotify,
Stitcher, all the things.
All that jazz. So, also, we will have a preview pod with the other half of the Airway Podcast crew coming up later this week to preview that terrible UTEP game later on. So make sure to be on the lookout for that. Me, you can find me at Mr_AlbyShore on Twitter, as always. So for Dylan, you're talking to Albie. You've been listening to the Airway Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors and SB Nation. As always, stay wrecked, people.